what they sell. If you've had the experience of buying an appliance and finding that service means waiting on hold on a helpline, discover the Dunnett difference from pros who know what they're doing and are here to help. Visit them at 63 Washington Street, Penobscot Plaza in Bangor. Check out the website at dunnettinc.com or give them a call at 947-4572. Dunnett has done it again. Back on Downtown here on a Monday. Rich Kimble and Carrie Haskell, and time for us to get on board the telephone line and welcome in Chad Finn of the Boston Globe and Boston.com. Hello there, Mr. Finn.
Hello, Rich. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you. I wanted to share this with you. I'm doing some website work last night and posting pictures of the guests that will be on during the week. And when I got to you for today, there were three options in our website library. And I looked, and they're all very different pictures, but I thought, that's a man who just doesn't age. Because I think the first one is at least a dozen years old, but I see no sign of age. What are you doing right?
You got to be kidding me. I feel like I'm 100 years older than I was 3 years ago.
Oh, no. No, no, no.
The beard's a little grayer every day. But
well, that's going to happen. I mean, I remember I started getting white hairs in my beard before I got them up on the top of my head.
Yeah, I started getting gray when I was 27. I don't know if 6 years at UMaine did that to me or what.
Well, I don't know. I was there for 12. It didn't do it to me.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that keeps you young, actually. Maybe that's all that time in Orono.
I think so. I like to think so. How was your weekend?
What's that?
How was your weekend?
Good until 1 o'clock yesterday. That wasn't much of a football game, but good weekend. I like this time of year actually because I work on Sundays and then I get Monday off, so, which is usually the first day of the week. So it feels like a little bit of a long weekend, even though I had to write about that abysmal football game yesterday.
Well, we'll get to that in a moment, but let's get to the more important news first. The New England Sports Survey that came out a week or so ago, and again, Chad Finn, the most popular sports writer on the planet.
Well, this corner of the planet, anyway. It's no Downtown Madness, that's for sure. I can't repeat at that. But, I've won this a couple years in a row. It's such a weird thing because they poll like 16,000 people, and I don't think I've ever met anybody who has actually polled in it. But they tend to... Seems like there's a pretty heavy weight toward the Globe because me, Shaughnessy, I think, was second. Or no, Chris Gasper was second, and then Shaughnessy was third. And to be honest, as much as I love my colleagues, there's a lot of good sports writers in Boston that I was surprised didn't register that highly in this thing. Outside of my colleagues, I think the guy everybody trusts most is Mike Reese, and has for a long time, and he's covered the Patriots for over 20 years. Same with Tom Curran. And I always expect to see guys like that do a lot better in this thing than they tend to, and I don't understand why.
Well, I thought it was well-deserved. Congratulations on that.
Well, thank you.
Let's talk Patriots. So where to begin? Wow, offensive line, not so good from what I saw yesterday.
They're Shaq Mason and Adante Scarnecchia away from being competent, right? That's the root of everything. That was my number one takeaway. You know, I think a lot of people today are probably talking about the offensive coordinator situation.
Oh, is there one?
Which is well, for the first seven plays of the game, it looked pretty good.
Yeah.
They come out. It just made me laugh. I thought we were being rope-a-dope by Belichick here, where they come out second play of the game. Mac changes it at the line, and Damian Harris has a really nice run. And I'm like, they've got this thing figured out. And then he throws the interception, underthrows Parker. Parker is held, and it's not called. And it kind of went all downhill from there, other than the drive at the start of the third quarter. And the fundamental issue is the offensive line just has no cohesion, look lethargic because of the heat in a couple of places, but also just guys blowing assignments that you don't expect to see happen on a Bill Belichick team, at least the Bill Belichick team from you know, the first 20 years of his time here, and maybe not the last three.
Well, why then does he seem, again, so optimistic? What is going on with Bill?
I think he knows he has a really mediocre team.
Oh.
And that there's no way to fix it this year. And so he's not going to rip guys for making the kind of mistakes that he would light them up for in a season where you had a real shot at winning a Super Bowl. Mm. The hole in that theory is the Kendrick Bourne situation, because by what I gather, he's a bad practice player. And when you're a bad practice player with the Patriots, you get the Chad Ochocinco Memorial Watch on Sunday Award, where you're not going to be getting a lot of reps. And you'd think if he knows this team's really not going anywhere, that he might make a little bit of an exception with that, because Bourne's good player, good teammate, really well, like gregarious guy, productive last year, but maybe can't be trusted to be in the right spot all the time. So I'm really interested to see if that Aguilar mistake after Bourne's 41-yard catch yesterday opens up a little bit of an opportunity for Bourne to get on the field, because that would have been that spot on the field is where he really thrived last year, over the middle, run after the catch. And I could see maybe Belichick giving him a little bit of leverage because another guy screwed up in that role. But it's very mystifying, but I think it all boils down to the fact that Bill knows he needs to be nicer, because this is a football team that's a work in progress and is going to be for quite a while.
Do we know any more about the Mac Jones back situation today?
Back spasms, according to the National Information Traders rap report. And I think Tom Pelissero from NFL Media both said back spasms. Mac's supposed to be making his appearance right now on Sports Radio in Boston. Got pushed off back a little bit later, but he met with the other reporters earlier today, just a few minutes ago. So the report is may play this weekend. Everybody's talking about that like a good thing. Oh, bullet dodge. May play doesn't sound that great to me, because it sounds like you might get Brian Hoyer against this pass rush, and if that happens, you're 0-2. So hopefully it was back spasms, nothing more than that, and he feels a lot better toward the end of the week.
As I watched the Tua carve up the defense there, especially on that fourth down play, all I could think of was you 2 weeks ago questioning the legitimacy of Jalen Mills. Thank you very much for seeing that.
Yeah, I didn't hear his name a lot yesterday. I actually thought the Patriots defense did a good job. You know, Duggar had a really strong game, other than the error on the play right after Adrian Phillips came out with this injury, where they hit the 42-yarder on fourth and seven to Waddle for the touchdown right before halftime. Duggar took complete blame for that after the game yesterday. But Jack Jones had a chance to make a play on Tyreek Hill. Mm. Didn't quite make it, but he was in position to make it. That's a good sign. Jonathan Jones on the other side was pretty good. And now Mills didn't get toasted, at least too badly. And I don't think he's the number one corner, but if you're looking for any sort of positive to take away from that game yesterday, there were quite a few of them on defense. That was a defensive performance that would have won a lot of games had they been paired up with an offense that was competent.
Now, I thought the only person who had a worse day than the Pats offensive line was Adam Archuleta on the broadcast.
I'm thinking about writing about that again later.
Ooh,
in the week.
Wow.
I touched on it in my column, I think, went up this afternoon. But, Gumbel's one of four active broadcasters that is called a Super Bowl. This is a guy who's had a really accomplished career. The other three being Michaels, Bucks, and Nance. Now he's on the number four team at 76 years old on CBS, paired up with a 44-year-old guy who doesn't have a ton of name recognition. Good pro player, but not a superstar, and is a complete buffoon as a color analyst.
Oh, my gosh.
We grew up at the time when you weren't sure if the Patriots were going to be on Sundays, depending on how many tickets they sold. But if they were, you got bad broadcast teams a lot.
Right. It made me miss Beasley Reese, for crying out loud.
That's the guy everybody always cites. That's what it reminded me of. He was wrong about so many things. He had that hilarious aside on did you know the Queen owns all the dolphins in the UK or whatever. But well, that, you know, this is Rich. This is the price of the Patriots not being what they once were. You get, you don't get Nance and Romo in the A-list anymore. Oh, they do have Ian Eagle and Charles Davis this week. That's a good one.
Well, that's good. And I have to say, my football Sunday wasn't completely ruined because I still like watching Tom Brady. And one of the things I most enjoy about the National Football League is when the Dallas Cowboys go belly up. So that was great.
Well, those two things in combination work pretty well. I think Brady's 7-0 against them, is that what they said now, never lost to him. He looked pretty good at the end of the game last night, second half of the game. But we got a lot of angry Brady in the first half when they were settling for field goals and suck up this one. And,
yelling at linemen, I love that.
Yeah, he lit up that center, Hainsey. They get the really close slow-motion replay of that, but passion is still there for sure. Maybe Giselle doesn't like it that much, but Tom still loves football, and he's still pretty darn good at it, too.
Chad Finn with us here on Downtown. Red Sox have the night off before they begin a crucial... All right, it's not a crucial series. It's a meaningless Yankee series as the rebuild goes on. I was all excited a week ago about Tristan Casas, and now he hits like Dahlbeck out there, Bobby Dahlbeck.
Well, set your standards a little lower. We just want our first baseman to catch the ball this year.
Okay,
so,
all right.
He can do that, which is nice. But, yeah, it just kind of feels like he's going through that rookie adjustment. It's not unusual. You know, the example people always cite is Pedroia when he came up at end 06, really struggled at the beginning of 07. And by the end of the year, he's hitting leadoff home runs for the World Series in the World Series for the champs. So, talented players can rise pretty quickly, but sometimes it takes some time to adjust. I think he's going to be fine. He should be their first baseman next year. It seems like his future is very bright, even if he's struggling a little bit with acclimation right now. He's about one of the few things on this team that's really enjoyable to watch. The Bogaerts batting title chase is a lot of fun. Just a reminder of what a terrific player he is. Whether the team is doing well or not, he's always doing his job. And Brian Bayo's looked really good lately, which is fun. You can pencil him as somebody who's really going to be enjoyable to watch in the future. So,
all right. So
that's about all you have.
When John Henry says, Chad Finn won that big New England sports survey, but he's one of our guys. Chad, help me out here. Listen, I'm frustrated with Heim. I need your advice. Clearly, you're a man of the people. What's the first thing we should do in this offseason? What do you tell the boss?
That would be the most words John Henry ever said in a sentence.
To anybody, yes.
What should they do? Spend money this offseason, because they did suffer a ton of injuries. And if you look at the best-case scenario of this team this year, they were right in the eight games over 500 when Trevor Story got hurt. He's a good player. Keep Xander, make Devers happy, and go out and spend some money on the front-end pitching. I don't know if it's Trey Turner or somebody else, if they moved into center field or if they pursue somebody like that or they move on from Bogaerts. But no more piece in this whole roster together with duct tape and glue anymore.
I would be very happy with that. Well, I hope Mr. Henry listens when you speak there. Chad Finn of the Boston Globe with us here on Downtown. Chad, thank you as always. Enjoy your time with the Portland guys later. Probably more confrontation. I don't know. How do they operate down there now?
Yeah, well, Javier is, this is, his Patriots takes this time when things are going like they are now are always hoping his worst case scenario is fulfilled. So today they're talking about Belichick maybe not being the coach next year. So I'm going to have to tell them to slow down a little bit here. What are we going to talk about when they're 0-4? Should Belichick resign right away?
Wow. Well, you enjoyed that. Have a good time. Keep him from leaping off the Piscataway River Bridge.
I'll do what I can.
All right. Thanks, Chad. Talk to you soon.
See you, Rich. Bye.
Chad Finn, Boston Globe on Downtown. 14 to go before the top of the hour as we head towards 6 o'clock.